Hello, my lovelies. Thank you for joining me tonight. This is Paisley Wild, and we are off adventuring into the spaces between. We are being broadcast live tonight on Truth Frequency Radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and TalkStream Live. Now, if you are listening in on YouTube later, please make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. And also check us out on the podcast world, or in the podcast world. We can be found in iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and a few other places. So just check us out. Now, no matter how you are hearing me, please do say hello. And I want to thank you for joining me here on my spiritual journey. And hope you'll just want to continue learning with me. And if you want to support the show, I do have an Etsy store, and I did add some new products. They're coffee mugs. They're 11-ounce and 15-ounce, and they have runes on them. So check those out. There will be a link in the show comments, or you can also find it at www.etsy.com/shop/Monarch Mountain Studio, and Mountain is MTN. I will be adding more stuff, of course, so just check it out. And if there's something you want to see, let me know. So tonight we are talking about auras. Aura is generally just an energy field that is thought to emanate from various living beings and plants. I Googled with Merriam-Webster Dictionary because I wanted to see what the definition of aura was before I went anywhere esoteric. And there's a wide variety, but I went with an aura is a distinctive atmosphere surrounding a given source or a subtle sensory stimulus such as an aurora or aroma, excuse me, or a special quality or feeling that seems to come from a person, place, or thing, an energy. There's some medical stuff. If you've got aurals, you're seeing auras, you probably have a migraine or something going on, so you might want to talk to your doctor. But generally, just an aura is an energy field that seems to emanate from a living being, or a luminous type of radiation or nimbus. Now, nimbus is like, you know, in a lot of the paintings for Christianity and such, a lot of the figures like Mary or Jesus have kind of this halo thing going on around them. That would be a nimbus, or that glowing light. So basically, that was symbolizing an ascended person or someone who was holy, and so just that their aura was strong. Now, apparently the auras around those folks were so clear and so powerful that others could easily see or feel or just sense them. Now, in more recent times, auras are able to be detected scientifically. They can be seen using Carilion photography and some other electronic equipment, but it's actually a field of energy. If you've seen the Matrix movies, you know that in the first movie, when they get Neo out of the Matrix, they call him Copper Top, meaning he's a battery, and that energy is actually coming off of us. So it's an electricity, it's a electromagnetic type energy, and so that's kind of where that reference came from. And you know, it's something that can be seen and manipulated to an extent. So Reiki masters, part of their training is to understand the aura. And there are some who do spiritual type healing based upon your aura. Because you have several different bands to your aura. The outer bands do change kind of all the time, depending on what's going on in your life. And there's going to be some layers that are closer to your body that may be more intense or don't change. And they may be your life colors or your personality colors or whatever you've got going on in your world. Also, there can be a coordinating aura on your partner or significant other, just meaning that you guys are suited to one another. And sometimes different careers, the environment of the office can have an aura to it as well. And you'll know if you fit in or not if the aura to the rest of the room is similar to yours. Now, our auras do change as we switch moods, just like when we're smiling and being happy. You can hear it in our voice. You can see it on our faces, and it just lifts our mood. Similar things can impact your auric fields, too. So if you are feeling out of alignment or murky or just being affected by other people's negative energies, you know, washing that mood from your aura can just be as simple as giving yourself some healthy, positive, loving thoughts. And, you know, just test it out anytime. If you're feeling just a little blue, a little down, or a little negative energy coming from others around you, you know, maybe that's give yourself an auric smile. Just smile, and it should make you feel better. Now, just real quick before we move on, something I see a lot is people who feel that they are empathic in some way. Now, I'm not saying they're not, but what I'm saying is that often instead of being empathic and feeling others' emotions or hearing their thoughts, they're actually feeling the energy field of the people around them and reacting to them and intuitively interpreting those feelings from that energy. So just because you walk into a space and you feel the energy of the room, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're empathically picking up the signals of the room. It could be you're just as simple as you are receiving intuitively messages or information from people's auras, so you can kind of feel how the room is. I mean, I know most of us have walked into a place that felt a little strange and you feel a little nervous. You walk in, people are like, oh, it's the new kid. Or sometimes you walk in and everybody's like, hey, it's the new kid. Hi, how's it going? Or, you know, you can feel that different energy when you walk into someplace new. And instead, you're not necessarily being empathic. You may just be highly sensitive to the aura energies of the people around you. So keep that in mind as you're moving forward, and don't just assume that you're empathic. You may just be, again, receiving that the messages and such from other people's aura and their energy fields. Now, as I was saying, your mood definitely impacts your aura. You can feel it. It changes. And so your emotions and your experiences can also have just a real-time, immediate impact on your aura. So keep in mind that that means that just because your aura might be dim now or you're feeling that, that muddy spot, it won't stay that way forever. You can do things to cleanse your aura or to heal it. Quite simply, with some positive affirmations and some cleansing. Just take a shower. As the water runs over you, you're cleansing that negativity or that muddiness away from your aura, and you're washing it down the drain. You're just a basic cleansing ritual. You can also do some meditation. So focusing on your emotion and your mental health can actually make your aura more vibrant. So that may be something to do during your meditation time or some visualization. You can imagine yourself cleansing your aura just by doing some breathing exercises. You know, the breathing in and breathing out, you know, that and focusing on the air coming into your lungs and exiting your lungs, that can help cleanse some of that negativity also and some of the dark spots or muddiness in your aura layers. You can smudge yourself. So burning sage is something that people have been doing for millennia to cleanse or clear rooms or people or spaces of negative energy. And there's some medicinal benefits to that as well. And then energy balancing and healing, again, the Reiki masters or other spiritual teachers or advisors may be able to help you find an imbalance in your auric field and how to work them out, some guided steps. Talk to an expert. I'm not one. I'm still learning things just like you are. So, as I mentioned earlier, there's different layers to your aura. You know, the ones that are on the outside are generally more transient and more changeable. And the ones closer to you are the ones who are, that are pretty much linked to your psyche, for this incarnation. So, the layer closest to you is considered your physical aura plane. Now, it is often diminished or less obvious during our waking hours. And it increases, though, when we're sleeping or resting. And for this layer to be just in good balance and in good health, we need to have a certain level of physical comfort, pleasure, health, just in a good place physically. Now, if your aura is in poor health, you may have smudges or snarls to your aura that are showing and reflective in that energy layer. Also, if you are someone who focuses on the negative or generally an angry type person, you will have some darker aspects or smudges or bruising almost to your physical aural plane. The astral aural plane is considered the emotional layer. Now, this is where we store most of our emotional history. And also experiences with your friends and your family. So you can tell if there's something just not quite right in your social life or with your family, because you might feel grouchy, irritable, just maybe super sensitive to what people are saying. And your astral aura will respond best to you when you amplify what it needs in your surroundings. For example, if you want to heal negativity or negative emotions, visualize green, and we'll talk about colors here in a bit. Or maybe lie in the grass or spend some time under a tree or with the trees, just to help cleanse and kind of diffuse that negativity or that anger that's showing on your astral plane. Now, on your your lower mental aural plane, this is related to reason, your thought patterns, how you construct your own individuality. When people are awake, this plane is generally more representative or more significant. And it really expands when our minds are working, like when we're studying or focusing on something hard or concentrating. Because of your that focus and that intent, this is where some of your belief systems may be stored or representative, in addition to like your values, what's important to you and your ideals. Now you have a lower mental aura at me, and it's just out of alignment and things are not quite right. It may be twisted. You're going to feel a little bit more judgmental towards other, down, kind of depressed, agitated, anxious. So just be aware of that. You know, if you're feeling those feelings, you may need to be kind of reset and cleansed. Now your higher mental aural plane, it is connected with the laurel plane, but it's got a deeper, a more intense, spiritual element. So this is where we store our high-mindedness or our higher beliefs, like self-love, gratitude, unconditional love. It's maybe where your parenting or love for others may show. And it is also a bridge, though, to your other layers. So when you're talking positively to yourself, saying, hey, I look good today, or hey, I did a great job doing X, Y, Z, not only are you giving yourself a little bit of self-love, but it's actually spreading to the other layers of your aura. So no matter what your little voice in your head is saying, it will definitely impact your higher plane. So if you're feeling a little more anxious or anger or judgmental towards others, you know, do a little bit of reflection and show yourself some self-love. Take care of yourself. This is where take care of myself day or a pamper day is really good because it helps reset some of that energy. Now, your spiritual oral plane is 100% to do with your spirituality. It connects you both to your immediate surroundings, but also to the wider universe. And if you're a little bit more aware of this layer, you can actually connect to other people's spiritual planes. So it'd be like your soul connections or your BFFs, you know, the people who you're just really connect with you. They generally have a like-minded soul or a similarly colored soul. And if you've got just a very clear a spiritual aura, you're definitely going to be connecting with others on the same path as you are. So in the world of paganism, once we decide to accept that, yes, we are pagan or yes, we are witches or Wiccan, often we suddenly start seeing connections or encountering connections with others and with like-minded beliefs. Now, I'm sure this happens in other spiritual paths as well or other, you know, hobbies or whatever. Just when you start connecting with those things, or making those choices, or you've decided to build this part of yourself, you will become more attuned to others who are doing the same thing. Now, if you haven't tapped into your oral plane and you're ignoring it a bit more, you're going to be generally more cynical and negative. And you maybe feel threatened by any sort of spiritual growth, not just someone else's, but very much your own. And if someone is reacting to you with this type of behavior, they're just reacting to your aura because your aura is so much stronger than theirs, and they're not comfortable with that. So just remember that's reflective of the person who has that attitude and behavior. So if someone's being overly negative or cynical, it's reflective of themselves, not necessarily you. Now, our intuition, that oral plane is also known as the celestial plane or third eye, and it's where we generally store our dreams and our intuition and our overall spiritual awareness. And it's also where we store our forgiveness and acceptance as well. So if you're, you know, trying to be or cleanse this area, try to be peaceful or calm or have some sort of kindness towards others and yourself, more patience with people. Now, if you're to sense a healthy intuitional plane or oral plane, you feel it. You feel happier. You're going to be more in touch with others. You're just going to kind of brainstorm, be more intuitive and creative and just really connect with those folks. Now, people who spend a lot of time in their intuitional aura or is very, very strong may also be the most creative or gifted, you know, if certain talents. Now, if you ever have an aha moment or you have just this breakthrough of something that you're working on, it's this particular aura is saying, hey, it's move forward. You're connecting to it more. Now, the absolute oral plane, it's kind of the overall the net, if you will, and it balances all of the other layers. So it houses all of your soul's journey. So if you have past lives or other incarnations, this is where all of that information is going to be stored and kind of a potential roadmap for your future. So not only is it the net, it's also kind of the icing on the cake. You know, it's all-encompassing and good things too. We're going to be starting here on colors before the break, just because there's a lot to them. And now remember, not everybody's going to see auras. It does take some training and some time to develop this particular skill and some work. And make sure you're doing your study and for your own path. And if you have access to a teacher or a guide, by all means, I'd take advantage of that. Because some of this, you do need a little bit of guidance other than just listening to me, although I'm glad you're here. And but sometimes it's nice to have someone to talk to and bounce ideas off of. Now, on that note real quick, you know, if you're looking for instruction or guides or teachers, they're out there. don't be taken in by those that are trying to say, oh, well, buy my class for $9.99 and I'll teach you all about auras, or I'll teach you all about candle magic or something like that. A lot of this information shouldn't cost. If you're really being trained to be a priest or a priestess, or just know more about the path you're on, generally there is not a monetary exchange there. You're not buying lessons or buying instruction. So just do your research, most importantly. And if you have any peers that are on this path also, not just in person, but in online, there's a whole world out there online for the pagan path. So check into it. So the very first color that we're going to talk about is red. Red generally focuses on the physical qualities of your life. People with redder auras love expressing themselves either on their physical bodies or physically through, or they're very sensual, perhaps, and just very in touch. They definitely live in the here and now. They're very full of courage and self-confidence. They're the go-getters and get out there and do stuff. Now, reds are generally physically present. In reality, they tend to adapt their environment to themselves, because reality must be tangible to them. They need to be able to reach out and touch it and interact with it. So they're generally, I think the reason why they're so out there and doing things is they need to actually experience the real world. Now, reds are generally very physical and possibly very sexual, and they just really love expressing themselves, maybe through their sensuality. And, you know, they just are awesome, busy, busy people. They're not generally abstract thinkers, though. A wall is a wall. A shoe is a shoe. They're very literal. They're not very ethereal or complicated. They just really like to have concrete, tangible evidence of something that exists. So reds remind us that we do have bodies, that we are matter. We are just flesh and blood. But they, again, are very robust and just outgoing, and they don't see life as an illusion or try to escape from life into the fantasy world. They're just very, very much in the here and now. The next color to talk about is pink. Now, pink is often a rarer color to show up in an aura. It's kind of a bubblegum pink, and it's often seen around those who are very gentle in nature and are just radiate a loving energy to everybody they come into contact with. These are the people that are, everybody loves them. They're very sensitive. They may be hopeless romantics, but they also have just an innate natural ability to keep romance alive in their relationships and just really connect with their friendships. They're often natural healers and thinkers, and can be very, very creative also. They have a deep connection to their intuition and maybe even their psychic abilities. So now the color pink vibrates with on the same frequency as green, and both of them respond or correspond to your heart chakras. People who have pink in their aura are generally give comfort to those around them just by being there. They're also very bubbly and uplifting, and just fun to be around. Sometimes pink also corresponds directly to the heart chakra, which is associated with a more feminine energy. And so even in the midst of some really challenging situations in life, a person with a pink aura can help heal others. Maybe with a glance, a smile, a kind word, a hug. They just intuitively know what someone needs to help them on that healing path. And they just kind of remind us to be gentle with each other and the world around us and everything that we come into contact with. So the next color would be orange. Now, orange is generally the thrill seekers, maybe the daredevils on this oral spectrum. They love excitement and adrenaline and the rush of just physical danger. They want to challenge their environment and just go beyond assumed physical limits and expectations. So oranges will often put their lives on the line just to feel alive. And in many instances, it could be the stakes are actual life and death, or just the dare. This is Paisley again, and we are off adventuring into the spaces between. So, yeah, the break kind of snuck up on me there. I was in the middle of reading and talking and all that stuff. So we're just going to dive right into it because there is a lot of information to cover. Now, we were just talking about orange. I wanted to finish that up, and there's something, a chat question I wanted to address. So orange folks, or people with a very strong orange aura, generally do put their lives on the line again. Kind of, they're the adrenaline junkies, the thrill seekers. And they're just bored otherwise, if they're not actually seeking that danger or that adventure. Folks like Evel Knievel, Jackie Chan, they're thought to have well-known or an orange aura. So now, for me personally, there's a question about me being able to see auras. I'm working on it. I'm not quite there yet, I think. There's a how-to at the end. I'll throw it in there. And also, animals and pets, do they see auras? Yes, I think so. I have a dog that has a tendency to just stare off into the blank unknown. We call him Ghost Hunter just because we don't know what he's looking at. But I think he's really picking up on the energy of a certain space, whether it is a spirit going through the room or not. We have heard stories, and I think evidence of your pets knowing if they meet someone who's not good, a bad person. There's I think dogs and cats and other animals can actually connect with that aura that they may be encountering and really do respond to it. So if they like you, you might have an aura that's attracting to them. And if they don't like you, I'm assuming you have an aura that is opposite of what the pet or the animal feels. So yeah, I do think cats and dogs, I think they do see auras. All right, so the next color that we're going to talk about is tan. Tan auras are generally associated with those who are very logical and analytical. They're generally very methodical in their processes. And they are probably list makers, and they actually follow the list 1, 2, 3, 4. They're very, very methodical. I'm very practical and focused on security. And they also generally keep their feelings to themselves. They don't take the risks. They really are methodical. They take the one step at a time. But they are down to earth, and they value a longer term commitment. So just loving to analyze, learn, and understand reality is more important to them than, becoming more comfortable or adventurous. Magenta is considered a rarer oral color. They're generally a nonconformist, eccentric, loners, unique. They do their own thing. They dance to the beat of their own personal drum. They don't follow along very well. But they are generally the artists. And they love shocking people or getting some sort of response, from people around them. They just don't follow what everybody else does in society. Now, because they do have kind of some outrageous behavior, they probably prefer to live in like a larger, crowded city. They are very free-spirited and not concerned about what others think, but they are often in the bigger cities and stuff, because there's more people around, they have the more freedom to express themselves than a smaller community, maybe. Now, often a yellow violet combination for auras often think they're magenta because they have similar experiences, and the color just blends a certain way, so it's very similar to magenta. But they're generally not as methodical and following the steps and such. So yellow is actually preferred to live in more natural environments. So yeah, there's just a little bit of a difference there. Speaking of yellow, yellows are generally fun-loving. Think of daisies and sunflowers. So they're free-spirited and energetic and very childlike in some of their personalities. But they can also be shy and sensitive. So either they're going to be the life of the party and just that really outgoing, or a little bit more introverted. They generally stay connected with nature and are physically active, so maybe hikes and long walks and biking and such. But they're generally optimistic, sensitive folks, and just want to have fun. They like to heal the planet also. They like to make others laugh, and they just believe life is to be enjoyed rather and freely and spontaneously. I can't talk tonight. Goodness gracious. So they're just cheerful, smiley people. Now, yellows, if they had a choice, would not go to work at all unless work was fun for them or playful or creative in some way. They would rather have a good time than go to work, which I totally understand. Now, dogs, they're just very drawn to yellows and are often very connected to yellows. So yellows may have a lot of dogs or pets in general. So greens is the next color. They're generally powerful and intelligent. They process information and ideas quickly. They jump from step one to jump step 10. They bounce around. They're excited about getting started on a project, but they're more interested in the end than they are in all the tedious stuff in the middle. They might develop an idea or organize a plan, but they're going to delegate someone else to handle all the details. I kind of identify with this particular color because I think I love coming up with ideas and I love seeing the end result, but I am happy to let somebody else handle all the stuff in between. Greens are also drawn to money and business and often power. So they're quick thinkers, and since they're organized and efficient, even though they're jumping from one list to the next all the time, they're able to check stuff off and just move forward. Now, when they're feeling on it, they can accomplish just about anything. They will set a goal and they will achieve them. So the greens are generally the movers and shakers. Now, they are very competitive, they enjoy challenges, and they thrive on some sort of risk. They may be gamblers, some of your high-stakes poker players, maybe. They're very strong-willed and just strong personalities. They're the big people in the room. And yeah, if you do get into an argument with a green, often they're going to be right and prove you wrong, or else just be louder than you. So the next color is blue. Now, blues are generally loving and nurturing and very supportive. They live from their heart and from their emotions, and just their purpose is to give love. They teach love, and they just are love. They focus on relationships and spirituality, and they help those who focus on those types of things. Often they're your teachers, your counselors, your nurses, you know, people who are out there to help others, because they are just supportive. And they just want to help others. They want to make sure that everyone feels accepted and loved. And they're often the counselors in the world because people turn to them for comfort and counsel. And blues are often going to be right there for them. And if nothing else, they'll have a shoulder to cry on. Now, they are very emotional generally. And they can cry at the drop of the hat. So if they're feeling an emotion, you're going to know it. They can be happy or hurt or angry or sad, often for no real reason or obvious reason, but they may be just connecting to someone else's aura or to another emotion that they may be seeing right now, either in a book or on TV or in a song. Violet is the next one. Now, violets are generally the inspirational visionaries, our leaders, performers, therapists, teachers, or people who are the big goals, like to save the planet or to educate the world, or they just have the higher ideals to improve the quality of life for people on the planet or to help save people or animals. Just have a real inner sense that they're here to do something important, that their destiny is greater than what they are doing right now or what the average person is doing. Now, many violets become famous, or they travel a lot, or they might join Peace Corps because they feel compelled to do that. But they're very charismatic often, which is why they make great leaders. And they love to connect and reach people. That could be through music or film or some other form of art. They know they're here to do something, and they're not afraid to take the steps to do it and bring you along with them. Now, sometimes they don't know what they need to do. That's why they're going to reach out for some help too. They're just often taught, actually, that some of their dreams and aspirations are unrealistic as children. So they may lose some lose touch with some of those original visions, but it's important for them to reconnect. So some of that cleansing and grounding we talked about earlier. They just need to slow down and focus and connect again with that vision. White or crystal is a pretty rare life color also. They're also considered an aura chameleon because they can change their aura with the people that they're interacting with. And they can change their behaviors and their thought patterns and their emotions also, just to with the people that they're around. Now, crystals can get along quite well with almost anyone. Yellows, for example, do feel they can relate to the white aura because they think alike. But then the same thing happens with the other auras also, because crystal or white can just reflect what those other auras are experiencing. Now, they are kind of inconsistent, so it could confuse people because they may behave like they have a stronger green aura or a stronger magenta aura or a yellow aura later. So they just are generally transient in their behavior, so again, confusing. They can cause others around them to feel kind of an energy drain just because those with a white or crystal aura can absorb some of their energy, but they are natural healers. So if they're like a Reiki master or something, they may help their clients clear blockages to help some of those the healing practices to actually take place. So they're just very, very strong. Lavender is the next color. It's generally associated with fantasy or enchantment, dreams, spiritual beings such as angels or fairies are associated with lavender. They're very sensitive and creative, and they prefer to be places where it's pretty and enchanting and not as boring and humdrum as most of the world. So they're very drawn to pictures of butterflies or flowers or wood nymphs. So they're probably going to live rurally rather than in the city because concrete in large cities can feel very harsh or cold to them. So lavender can often be very fragile and frail and often physically appears as weak or pale just because they're not fitting in the same as others. They're very simple but sensitive, and they're the free thinkers. They're the cloud watchers, the daydreamers. And because of this, they tend to frustrate others because you might want to have them be dependable and responsible, but they're not going to do that. They're more likely to chase a butterfly. And they live in their imagination a lot. So just not necessarily the most steadfast person, but probably fun to be around once in a while. The next color is indigo. Now, if you were to do some research into our history anthropologically, you'll find that blue or indigo is actually a new color to our Earth. There's some forms of our older languages don't even have the word for the color blue. So it's a newer color, blue or indigo, either one. And as a result, indigo is a newer color that could be associated with an aura. It's a new consciousness, a new energy. It's just a new feeling or impact to the earth to help heal it, to educate. And often associated with those who are considered indigo children. They're the forerunners of change. They're also old souls, so they may be a reincarnate from a previous indigo, from when we're, as the wheel turns or as the cycle turns and what's old becomes new again, maybe those souls need to be reborn to affect change to the world that we live in or around us. Oh, goodness. And we're just running fast out of time. Now, indigo children generally are psychic or highly intuitive, but they're also fearless, strong-willed, and sensitive. Now, another characteristic is the indigo children often appear slightly androgynous because they receive both the yin and the yang, if you will, of energies. Now, there are some potential aural anomalies that you may see, whether in photographs or in person. It would be streaks or beams of light. This means that someone's connecting more with the divine or the spirit realm. Orbs, especially if they're in portraits, can represent a different spirit energy, like a spirit guide that may be helping someone. So it's orbs are generally a little bit more esoteric than the streaks or beams. Now, if you want to see your aura, hold your index fingers tip to tip and do this when you're facing like a blank wall or like your refrigerator or something white. And you want to hold your arms out at as far from you as possible with your index fingers still touching. And slowly pull them apart. And you want to kind of relax your vision so you're almost zoning out and just not focusing. And you'll probably see some sort of outline surrounding your fingers, and it'll be either a light blue or gray light. And this is your first glimpse of your own auric energy. Now, the more you practice, of course, the more you will see, and the more vivid the colors will become. Now, auric energy is not something you can see generally by looking at it directly. It's going to be out of the corner of your eye with your eyes slightly unfocused. So as you're trying to look at your own aural energy or someone else's, you know, you're not going to be looking at them directly and just staring at them and freaking them out because you're staring so hard. You're actually going to be kind of slightly out of focus when you're talking or when you're looking at things. So I really do think our pets see this energy or animals, because, you know, I know that I've been sick once in a while and you just feel horrible with the flu or something. I'm sure that impacts your aura. I have a big old boxer who just insists on cuddling up next to me and spending as much time with me, probably because he senses that I'm not well. Now, is he sensing my aura or something else? I don't know. But I know that when I'm not feeling good, he wants to buddy up to me. So, yeah, I think animals really do receive and connect to our energy. Now, the you can have several layers to your aura. It's just the two or three layers closest to you in that physical plane are the ones that are really, really reflective of who you are in this life. And just who, whether it's your future you or your past you, it's all going to be in there. So you may see more than one color at that layer. Some of that streakiness happening. So it's an interpretation of both two different colors. Or since there are a couple different layers, you're going to see the different colors. And of course, as you work out the different aura levels, auras are generally associated with your chakras also. So I didn't go into that tonight because I didn't think I was going to have time. So I don't have it prepared. So we can talk about it later. But yeah, in your research, you will see that not only do the different colors have meaning for your aura, but they're going to have a very similar meaning for your chakras also. So if you've got a chakra out of alignment or your energy is not quite right, it's going to show in both your aura and in a chakra reading. So when you are feeling that muddiness, meditation absolutely is just a great place to start. Set your intention. My number one rule, set your intention. What is your goal for this particular meditation that you might be doing? Make sure you're picking the right music for it also. Not all music is the right music to listen to when you meditate, depending on what you're trying to accomplish. If your goal is to help refocus your auras and make sure you're really cleansing yourself or helping yourself heal, you're going to make sure you want to have that healing positive type music and not something angry or negative. Remember to visualize that you're cleansing yourself, or do it physically by taking a shower or a bath or by smudging to help rid yourself of that negativity or that the muddiness or the spots that you might have on your aura. Now, I'm only at the fingertip stage on figuring out my aura because I think it's cool and I haven't gotten any further than that. It's just simple. You put your fingertips together at arm length and you pull it apart and unfocus your eyes slightly. And yeah, you can see something. I can definitely see that grayish blue kind of outline around my fingertips. So it's interesting. You can also see auras when you're looking at plants and animals. Some of the different trees will have a slightly different aura to them also. That's why some people are drawn to different trees more than others, or flowers. Why do you think you have a favorite flower or favorite tree? It's because there's a certain energy to those that are drawing you to them. You're connecting to them more. So color is, even if you can't necessarily see it, is very, very interrelated in our world, not just as pagans and witches, but also just as people. You know, we react to color. There's a lot of psychology now, or psychological studies done regarding color. It's why if someone's trying to gain your trust, they're going to wear the color blue, because blue is generally a sign of trustworthiness and confidence. Orange and yellow are generally associated with hunger. So that's why a lot of the fast food joints have traditionally had the orange and yellow in their paint schemes. Not necessarily visually attractive, but it makes you hungry, so you're going to eat more and spend more, which is what their goal is. So if you're looking for a soothing space, sure, your favorite color is going to help you, but a blue or a green may actually be better for you if you're trying to find a way to balance yourself and clear out your negativity and meditate in a positive place. You should be keeping a journal, just so you know. I'm working on it. Of all the different things that you're trying as you're becoming more familiar with your path and learning more about your path and like walking through how to see your aura, that would be something to put in there. And the date, did you actually see anything? Did you not? Or the first time you see someone else's aura or an aura around a plant. You know, those are all things to document, you know, how you feel about it and how it affected you. And did you see any of this bruising or smudges or something in someone's aura? You know, how did you help them cleanse it? Or did you feel you weren't able to? You know, what? Now, on that note, only if you've got some training should you be trying to help cleanse someone's aura. So on that note, we are just about done here for the night. So I want to thank you all for joining me. It was a good time. We learned a lot about color and auras. We'll come back to that again in a bit down the road, just because I think it's important. And we'll probably go into it in a little bit different way if we do represent it later. So again, remember, Etsy shop to support me and the show is www.etsy.com/shop/Monarch Mountain Studio. You can find me in the podcast world and on YouTube at The Spaces Between. So thank you for joining me here on my journey tonight. I hope you'll come back next week. I don't know what we're going to talk about yet. It'll be a surprise probably. Remember to email me if you do have any ideas at wildpaisley@gmail.com. And that's wild with an E.